Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Colin Hanks, hosted by me, Rachel Chapman. Today, I'm very excited because I have one of my dear friends who I've never actually met in person. Is that weird?
It's really sad. I'm really sad about it. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're in weird times. You know, maybe one day we'll all meet in a central location and have a big party, you know? But anyway, he's one of the hosts of I've Been Meaning to Listen to That, which is a great podcast that you should listen to, but not right now because you're listening to this one. It's Andrew Ambrose Lee.
Hi. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So like before we continue, like anyone listening, I want the audience to queue up an episode of my show to play immediately after this.
Yeah.
Like that's my imploration to all of you guys. I don't know. What do you call your fans like of this show?
Hanks. I don't know. I don't know if I have a lot of fans of this show. If you are a fan of the show, suggest a name for yourself. I think they're just Hanks. Hankers.
Hankers is good. make t-shirts. You gotta make merch.
Hanksters. Like pranksters.
That's a playoff of pranksters, and that's fun. They're like a mischievous bunch, like who just love the Colin Hanks filmography.
Yeah, they're mostly Tom Hanks fans who just have stayed on during the Colin Hanks phase, because let's be honest, I don't think anyone is like a diehard only Colin Hanks fan. I think his wife is, you know, his kids are.
You would like to hope like his wife is a
a she's
Colin
like
Hanks stan.
I'm a really big Tom Hanks stan, but I also really love Colin Hanks, you know. That's probably what she's thinking. No, she's like, Colin Hanks is my favorite.
yeah, that's what they said at their vows, like
you are my favorite,
you are
Hanks.
My unproblematic fave and stuff like that. So
well, Tom's not problematic, you know.
Yeah,
but one of the other boys is. But we don't talk about him. No.
That was the first draft of that song. Like they,
we don't talk about Chet.
And they're like, Lynn, what's this song? It has nothing to do with the characters.
He's like, oh, sorry, I had it queued up. Just like my listeners should have an episode of I've Been Meaning to Listen to That queued up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're talking about Colin's movie, The Guilt Trip from 2012. And this is Colin's movie, you know?
Yeah.
No, this is Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand. Wow. What a get. Am I right?
Yeah.
Babs. And it's got a pretty good cast, because I mean, Seth Rogen, Barbara Streisand, they're big. And then you also have Kathy Najimy plays Barbara Streisand's friend. And then Miriam Margolyes or whatever. I don't know how to say her last name, but she's what's her face from Harry Potter? The herbology teacher, right?
Is that her?
Isn't that her? Yeah, that's her.
It's been so long since I've watched Harry Potter.
Yeah, she plays Professor Sprout. She was one of her friends at the dinner. I was like, wow, this is like a who's who of older women in Hollywood, you know? Mm-hmm. And then also Rose
Abdu from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah,
Barb and Star. She has a little. If you want to get a third or fourth friend, you cast Rose Abdu in your movie or TV show.
And you know what? It's you should, because she's great.
She's great. She's so funny.
Yeah. Who else is in this? Was that the? There's just like a lot of people in this, because you know it's a road trip movie, so you get to introduce a lot of different characters. The dad from Even Stevens is in this movie.
Fun.
Yeah. Who else is?
Casey Wilson shows up for a little bit.
Yeah.
Dale Dickey. She's a great character actress. She plays one of the strippers, like the older stripper. Yeah.
Oh, fun. Yeah, just a lot of fun. So basically the synopsis for this movie. So before I saw this movie, I just thought it was a movie where a mom and a son had to take a road trip together. And then it was all the hijinks that happened across the, but yeah, but I didn't know that it was like a planned, you know, I thought he was being guilted into going on a trip with his mom, but instead he guilted her basically to go on a trip, right? Kind of.
Not a lot of guilt, like not a lot of guilt on the mom's side. Like that much. This is an interesting movie in that it's not very interesting, but it's like, it's interesting that it got made in this script and stuff like that.
I thought it was going to be more hijinks, more fun than it was, but it was pretty toned down. And even Seth Rogen's character was very toned down. I felt like the synopsis on IMDb is as inventor Andy Brewster is about to embark on the road trip of a lifetime. A quick stop at his mom's house turns into an unexpected cross-country voyage with her along for the ride. Is that correct?
Confirmed. Yes.
Yeah. But they do make it sound like it's like it's like unexpected that she comes along, but it's like he plans it.
Yeah. This is an interesting movie because like, I think mostly because of the tone, it's like, because there are some dramatic moments that are like, oh, now you're kind of cooking with gas a little bit. Now this is like kind of interesting. And then it kind of just, endemic of like those comedy dramas around this time where it's like not, I think I laughed out loud like maybe two or three times, like I had like two or three good laughs, and then like one moment of like, oh, this is kind of interesting, and then the rest of the movie I was kind of at a neutral state basically the entire time.
Yeah, which is weird because you have like, these people are very funny and you have a lot of funny people in the cast, and then these people just weren't being funny. Like, I really thought Colin was going to have a funnier moment too. So Colin plays, so like they make a stop somewhere and then they have to go stay with Seth Rogen's ex-girlfriend from high school that we find out he had proposed to her and she said no, and then they broke up. And now she is pregnant and married to Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks, which is the dream,
dream, right?
Yeah.
But their whole conversation is very awkward and weird because they're just talking about how they used to be high school sweethearts and like, and he broke up with her. And like, if I were Colin's character, I would be weirded out by that. And I would do something funny like, hey, get out of my house, you know,
or like slip on a banana or something. Yeah. That would have been really funny.
But he was totally chill with his wife, who's pregnant with his second kid, just talking about her high school sweetheart and like basically being like, he's the one who got away. Not really, but you know.
No. Like, that's the moment of the movie I kind of liked. Like, I think that was a good scene where, you know, the mom was trying to just like get to the bottom of why his son was like, you know, had such bad luck with women. And then she like accidentally uncovered this like uncomfortable truth about her son that he proposed to his then girlfriend at the age of 18 and she left him basically. Yeah. And like they broke off of each other. And then that's the interesting part of the movie, is like the idea of like the son mother relationship, of like the idea of mothers, like they give birth to their sons and or children and they love them and they pour out all this love into their like loving their kid, and then they like grow up and like you have to like kind of relearn who they are again and stuff like that. That's the interesting part of the movie, but I don't know.
I mean, I just thought that this scene was like going to go in a comedic direction and they went heavily in the drama direction. And I was like, it just felt totally weird.
Yeah.
It felt it was like an important part of the dramatic story, but I was like, where is the comedy in this? You have Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand in a road trip movie, and the funniest thing is a stripper taking the ice out of a tire to me. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, funny.
But yeah, and then she was just so sweet how she was like, you're welcome, Miss Joyce. I thought she was fun. But yeah, this movie I just felt like tonally was weird because I thought it was going to be like a really like funny buddy comedy type thing, but with your mom. And instead mm-hmm. it was like, oh, okay. They're trying to make this mean something. Also, the whole thing where she reveals at the beginning, the whole point of the road trip felt very forced, where it's like, well, actually, you were named after my ex-lover from Florida named mm-hmm. Andy. That just felt like a weird thing to just like tell her son out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you needed an excuse to get on the road, I guess.
Yeah, like the marketing, like, because I had never seen this movie before. I don't think I've even seen a trailer before of this movie. I just like saw the poster of like Barbara Streisand kind of like gripping Seth Rogen's cheek, and he's like, argh! Like he's kind of like, oh, mom. Like he's kind of just like, that's the face he's making in general. And like, I clocked this a few times because he even like says a few times, like when they're like setting up the premise of the movie, the mom is like, you know, Barbara Streisand's character is like, you want me to go on a road trip with you, my son? And then it's like, it's like kind of like the trailer editors is like, oh, and they like put that like, but like that's like, it doesn't like, yeah, it's I found like the first 40 minutes of this movie to be pretty dead to me. I did not think it was like particular, because that was the part of the movie where I was like leaning into the comedy, like the comedy quote unquote a little more. And I just like, it's like 2012's era comedy, and like just the attempts at jokes kind of curdle so fast. Like the like we're listening to a audio book about like a hermaphrodite and stuff like that, and Seth Rogen's like, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard of, and stuff like that. And or like the joke about the joke about like, we're driving in a tiny car, whoa, like this, like that's like, I was just like, this is these 30 minutes feel like 90 to me.
It definitely didn't parts didn't age very well, but I feel like that's just the thing with like comedies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I have to remember this came out 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Whoa, mm-hmm.
Whoa.
According to some IMDb fun facts, Paramount was so certain that Barbara Streisand was going to win the Golden Globe for this, that they put out an ad congratulating her, on getting a nomination. And they posted online moments before the nominations were announced, only to be pulled because she didn't end up getting a nomination. But that kind of, then that makes sense of, oh, they were actually trying to make this movie a dramatic movie. But it just, it gave off the, it made you think that it was going to be like a really funny comedy. So I guess we were supposed to take it seriously. I think maybe it was just like, I don't know what would have made it different, but maybe the marketing of it from the poster definitely look like a comedy because it looked like a Pineapple Express but with Barbara Streisand instead of James Franco, you know.
Which so, I think, by the way, I think we should reinsert, instead of like you know, like just forgetting about those movies, I think we should reinsert Barbara Streisand into any James Franco performance. Like they did with like Ridley Scott and like All the Money in the World, where they replaced Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer. I think they should like digitally replace James Franco with Barbara Streisand. So
just, that'd be really funny in that Disaster Artist movie.
I think that'd be good. I think get on at Hollywood. Or Holly Weird, as I call it.
Also, apparently Dan Fogelman wrote this movie based on an actual road trip he took with his mother, Joyce, from New Jersey to Las Vegas. And it's the film is dedicated to her.
Makes sense. Checks out.
Yeah.
I believe it.
And then Seth Rogen said that this movie is meant for Airplanes Only during a Doug Loves Movies episode. This definitely felt like a movie where like you wouldn't go see it in theaters, but if you were on a plane and you were looking for something new to watch, you'd be like, oh, I wanted to go see that. I'll watch it now, you know?
It's like perfectly even the offensive moments, quote unquote, are just like so like bland that it's just like okay. Yeah. You know, it's like good just look, it's entertaining enough to keep your attention, but it's not like dramatic enough to make you cry, and it's not a laugh riot either. So yeah. it's just this
it's vanilla.
And you know what? Vanilla isn't bad. Vanilla is not a bad flavor. It's a perfectly lovely flavor.
It's not the, you know, the really good vanilla with the little flakes, you know, in it. It's just like a store brand vanilla, which is still good. You still buy it because you need it on top of your pies and your brownie sundaes. But if you're getting just ice cream, you're going to go for something with a little more something in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Very astute observation, Rachel Chapman.
Okay, what else was it? Oh, the working title was My Mother's Curse.
Uh-oh.
This was Barbra Streisand's first starring role since The Mirror Has Two Faces in 1986.
Wow. This is not good enough for her.
Like, I know.
She deserves so much better. Man.
Well, basically what happens is they go on a road trip. Seth Rogen's character is trying to sell this science Cyoclean,
something like
which
that.
Which is it's yeah, like a organic
cleaning, yeah. Like glass cleaner or something.
And it's made with coconut oil, palm oil, and soy sauce. Just kidding, soybean oil. But he carries around.
That was the
around,
moment I did laugh.
Yeah,
and that was the funniest joke in the movie.
He
really
had the three objects, and he was like soy. Yeah. Bean oil, not soy sauce.
But
he's really bad at pitching it because he's all about the science of it, and people are like, no, we need to know what the deal, and that Cyoclean is also like a really bad name for it. But then he has like all these pitches to really big places like Costco, Home Shopping Network, Kmart? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's going all these places across the country to pitch. And then his mom tells him that he was named after another man named Andy that she had an affair with in Florida. And she didn't marry him because he didn't want to get married. And so then she married Andy's dad, and then she named her son after him, and then she told him that, and then he found out that this guy Andy, the real Andy, well, they're both really Andy, but the older Andy lives in San Francisco, so he's gonna bring his mom on the trip so that he can take her to meet Andy. And I thought, oh, was he doing that because he wanted his mom to date so that she would stop calling him all the time? Is that why? I guess maybe he wanted to do something nice for his mom, but it felt weird.
It's like, I think it's partly just like, you know, she's been a widow for like a pretty long time. She hasn't dated since her initial husband and stuff like that. And now she's just living this kind of passionless, like, not like, you know, tragic life, but just kind of dull and just kind of like routine and stuff like that. And then I think Seth Rogen's character just kind of sees that and goes, I don't think he's like thinking it through completely. It's just like, this is something I could do, you know, because he just like kind of but it's also like, I don't want to think about my mom having sex and stuff like that, yeah. Basically, like the entire time. But do you like my Seth Rogen impression?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. I break it out at parties and stuff like that.
People it sounds love it. Like a Muppet, but it, you know, it can also be.
What do you do? Stuff like that. So
I think that's his laugh, right?
That's good. That's much better than mine. Wow.
No, no, it's like, I can't do it, but, Seth Rogen is really great. I love that he's gotten into bass work
bases.
Now.
Yeah.
Bases, and he also has like a whole line of like
weed line.
Yeah. So it's like, good for you, dude. You're finding
he's
exactly what
really nice these days. He's got
he got
drip.
Invited to the Adele concert at Griffith Park and was sitting, I guess, front row because he talked about how he got really high for it. And then they put him in the front row and he's like, why me in the front for an Adele concert when there's like Oprah and all these like really big names there? But yeah, so he goes along the way, and one of the swaps is where Colin Hanks. So this is a podcast about Colin Hanks, so we have to talk about how short. I thought Colin was going to be the Andy, like that was going to be the real reveal. Where but instead he plays this husband of Seth Rogen's ex-girlfriend so
high school.
Yeah, so what is your favorite Colin Hanks movie?
So I'm not like a suit, like obvious, I just every time he shows up I like him usually.
Yeah,
like even if it's like kind of a nothing part really, I think he's excellent. He's like just like I'm just like he reminds me of a little Colin, like little Tom Hanks and stuff like that. He seemed like he's the quote-unquote I don't want to like project any actual like, you know, characters on him, but like he seems like the good kid of the Hanks kids and stuff like that.
I think three of the four are good kids.
Yeah, obviously, you know, parasocial relationships and all that stuff, blah 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 blah, but like it's like but like I like him whenever he shows up. He's actually a pretty talented actor. It's not a movie, but I think he's excellent in Fargo, and this is kind of that's kind of his big break where he gets to have like a meaty part that's like really like, and it's like 10 episodes and stuff like that, but I really like his performance in it, like especially because, you know, that show, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but that show is like full of like such awful gross people and stuff like that, and like he's like one of the two like good characters, like the decent characters and stuff like that. I think he really plays just like the cowardice and the fear, but also like just this lovable nobility in him too. So I really like him in that, basically. Yeah. So that's really my biggest Colin Hanks movie that I like.
Yeah.
TV show.
Yeah. So you didn't see Orange County?
I have not seen Orange County. I've not seen a lot of these movies. I need to see The House Bunny and stuff
the
like
House
that.
House Bunny, yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, Orange County is usually everyone's go-to because that was like his first big role. But but people say Fargo too because those are the two popular ones. House Bunny too is also a popular
Mad Men,
one.
He has a very small role, and I think he's pretty
in
good
like
in that.
Three episodes.
Yeah.
And a very small role, but for some people, they remember it greatly and they think that it's bigger than it
kinda
actually
hot.
Is.
He's kind of hot in it, and he's the first hot priest, like Fleabag ripped him off.
Yeah, we talked about it on the episode. He was the first hot priest, and they didn't go with it, so then Fleabag was like, we're gonna go there. And they did. Okay. Well, and then
wait, one question though. Like, at this point in like the Colin Hanks like filmography, have you like kind of tracked like a like what his deal is about him like for yourself yet, or do you is he kind of more nebulous to you?
I think he. What do you mean? Like to me?
Yeah. You.
I mean, Colin is Colin. I don't know what so far in his movies that I've seen.
Yeah,
he's picked some really choice roles. He hasn't done a lot of mainstream stuff, and I think he's trying to steer away from his dad a lot, but then also, like, he's done a lot of indie stuff that isn't great, but mm-hmm. he's probably also just working with a bunch of his friends because he grew up in Hollywood and he has a lot of famous friends. And then, you know, then he ventures into television and finds that that's where he likes to be in television. So he's done a lot of TV stuff, but mm-hmm. oh, yeah. I don't know right now. And now he's just like, if he does show up in a mainstream movie like Guilt Trip, it's usually in just like a bit part, which I'm sure that he got because he's friends with like Dan Fogelman or something, you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Like, I think that's like kind of the vibe I get from him is like, oh, he's everyone's pal, you know?
Yeah.
He's like kind of the guy he's the guy who will show up in a movie like this small part and this nothing parts. Like, he doesn't get to like really, you were talking about just like, oh, I wish he got mad, or I wish he did something, or I wish he was, or maybe he had like a comedic game. Like, he's a total drip or something like that. But he's just like one of those guys who's just like, I appreciate about him where he's just like, yeah, I'll show up in this. I'll do it. You know, that sounds fun. You know, I'll have fun with my buds and stuff like that.
And I mean, Tom did that a lot too, especially later in his career. He just show up as like, I feel like, as favors to people where he didn't really do much in the role, but like having Tom Hanks there was a big draw. Whereas I feel like Colin, it's like, oh, Colin, but then it's really not much. And I'm like, well, you know, as someone who's doing a podcast where I'm watching all of the things on your IMDb credits, it's really difficult to watch. When you're not doing a lot of stuff for you, you're doing it for your friends, you know? Because I would really just like to watch something that's good. The last really good thing I saw, I think, I don't know, my favorite still is The House Bunny. And even in that, he was just the romantic, he was the love interest. And so he wasn't really a lead at all. It was an Anna Faris movie. So, I don't know. Colin, let's get you a starring role in a movie where you get to have lots of fun. But even then, when he did Orange County, where he was the star, everyone just remembers Jack Black as the fun one. I want Colin to have fun in a movie.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just the too much of a straight man to ever have fun in a movie. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Okay, well, is there any fun moments, stops on the road trip? There is. They go and they stop in a place, Texas, I think, where they have that, where she has to eat a whole meal of like a full steak and all this stuff within an hour. And I thought that was fun.
That was fun. Like, that's truly, like, I don't have a lot to say about this movie. It's just like, yeah, that, and that happened, then that was fun. Fun, like, I guess, like, I wasn't angry, I wasn't like laughing, I wasn't sad. I was just like, well, this is what I am using my life to intake, basically.
Well, it's like when we saw that man, Ben, the cowboy guy. When he came in and was like helping her eat, and then was like very flirty, and then was like, I'd like to take you out to dinner. I do work in New York, so I'm always there. I can take you out to dinner. I thought immediately, I was like, oh, well, then this Andy guy isn't going to be available, because she obviously is going to end up with this Ben guy, which she, spoiler alert, does. Because at the end of the movie, it's very funny. He thinks that she's going to call him because she pulls out her phone. And in the beginning of the movie, all she does is keep calling him and leaving voicemails. Instead, she calls Ben and he's like, wait, my phone's not ringing. And that was cute. But did you also get a sense that, oh, Ben's here, Andy's not going to be real?
Yeah, of course. What are you talking about? Like, of course I did. Like, I was I am over 10 years old and I've seen movies before.
So I'm like, maybe that was just bad writing. Because then we knew what was going to happen.
It's again, this movie's just fine. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars and stuff like that. It's like, it's okay. So, like, what was a moment that you liked from the movie? What were some moments that you really, really enjoyed?
I liked the stripper getting the ice out of the thing. And I liked when he was having fun pitching his product at the end of the movie to Home Shopping Network, and he drank it. Because it was like, was that really it? Wow. Good for you. And that was it. Those were the most.
The people in the audience said, good for you. You look healthy and happy and not dead from drinking cleaning product.
Yeah. When he was like, get anyone else out here and they'll drink it and then they'll shit blood or something like that. That did make me giggle. Okay. Well, what were your favorite parts?
It's just like I saw so much, like when the moments of just like, oh, this is the mother character is kind of interesting as a character, of the idea of the person just kind of resigned to like a quiet, sadder life and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like her mother basically, and her son, like the person she loves the most outside of, you know, her original husband, which she didn't love very much. So her son probably is the person she loves the most in the world, basically. Mm-hmm. Like there's that cute home video of him, her going like, you know, the clearly ADR'd video.
Yeah, very ADR, because the woman's head doesn't turn. And it's just the back of her head that looks like the back of a young Barbara.
Because Barbara Streisand has a very notable visage, basically. I like the potential of the emotional territory. I like the idea of, well, let's explore the son, like kind of end the idea of just like, you grow up and like your son kind of thinks like the person like you raised and like fostered and loved, like now grew up and kind of thinks you're annoying or something you kind of have to deal with and stuff like that. And just like the reason like she's calling him constantly is like because she's lonely and she wants someone to like, she is directing all that energy towards her son, basically. And towards the end, like she doesn't need her son as much as before while their relationship is fortified. I think that's interesting, like emotional territory. And I did like the fight they had in the hotel where she finally kind of broke down and went like, you little shit, you little worm, you little pissants. Like you don't have to like me. You don't have to tolerate me all the time, but you can't disrespect me like that. And just like kind of like, you think I'm stupid in that you don't see like that, you know, all I did was like love you and stuff like that, and but you move across the country and stuff like that, and finally all this stuff is coming out. I think that was good, you know. I thought that was but they're just like kind of, but then she's just like, they're just like upset with each other for like, you know, a day, and then they're fine. And also she's not that annoying. She's fine. She's better than the mom in Good Luck Charlie, basically. Oh, yeah. So
yeah. Referencing another podcast. I mean, I liked when she was like, I can tell that you're annoyed by me, because it's like, yeah, people could tell, even though you think that you're totally, it was like a thing that I saw online today where it's like, don't say yes to things just because you don't want to, like, even if you don't want to do it, you know, because people can tell when you're reluctantly doing things just because they felt forced to do it. Like, because like, even you're like, oh, fine, I'll do it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like an attitude. So it's like people can tell, even though you think that you're really good at hiding it, people can tell.
Yeah.
And she could tell. Yeah. And she, yeah. So basically they get to the Andy dude, and it's not Andy, it's his son, who's played by Adam Scott, which is another great get. But then Ari Grainer, right? That's her name.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in and she's his sister, and her name is Joyce, which is the name of Barbara Streisand. So it turns out that Andy did name one of his kids. Yeah, he cared about her, that he named one of his kids after her, and she named one of her kids after him. And so they did love each other. And then they go home, and then they have the airport thing where she walks away and pulls out her phone, and he thinks that he's going to call her. But no, he calls Ben. Ooh! And that's it. That's the guilt trip. Okay. Well, So for this season, I'm making everyone design. I don't know if you know this, but Colin Hanks has a line of Hankskerchiefs. They're handkerchiefs, but they're called Hankskerchiefs. Uh-huh. And I'm making everyone design a Hankskerchief based on the movie they watched. So what would the guilt trip Hankskerchief look like?
Sure. I think it'd be like pretty much the same, like, you know, pose from the poster where like Barbara Streisand is squeezing Seth Rogen's cheek and like Seth Rogen's looking annoyed and stuff like that. And then above in like bold faced letters is, you know, a Colin Hanks vehicle. And then like starring Colin Hanks, and then the guilt trip, and then underneath the guilt trip, in very small letters, it's like also Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand are in this movie. They like hang out together. And then like you see in the corner of the Hankskerchief, like Colin Hanks is just like waving and going like, "Hey, what about me?" So that's my design.
Wow. Very specific.
That good? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see it selling out on Hankskerchief.com.
Wow.
Yeah. What color would the background be?
I guess like a forest green. I don't know.
Forest green.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, and then another thing that I'm making people do this season on You've Got Hanks is a BuzzFeed quiz loosely based off the movie that you saw. So since this movie is about a mom and a son going on a road trip together, I wanted to have you take the quiz. What type of mom are you? Okay, so first question, what are you having for dinner? Hot dogs, ravioli, sushi, or McDonald's?
Ooh. Just in general or just like today or
just in general, what are you having for dinner?
What were the choices again? Like it was a hot dog,
ravioli, sushi, or McDonald's.
Yeah, I'll just like put McDonald's. I had Jimmy John's today, so it's probably the closest. So
McDonald's. Okay. Any plans with the fam this weekend? And then there's a picture of a picnic, painting, Netflix, and shopping.
Yeah, my mom and dad love to watch like Korean dramas and stuff like that. And that's kind of like their bonding, the thing they do, the bond together. So like they were watching like, you know, Mr. Sunshine and like a bunch of other like K-dramas and stuff like that. Or like K-comedies and Korean comedies and stuff like that. So yeah, probably Netflix.
Okay.
We're very cool. Like we're very interesting and cool.
I mean, I feel like that's what everyone does. Yeah. What would you do if your
child
got
bad? Some people
paint
or go on a picnic, though. So
yeah, and shopping.
Yeah, shopping.
What would you do if your child got bad grades? Lecture about consequences, talk to them, ground them, or get them a tutor?
Yeah. You know, obviously, like, I like to think of myself as a problem solving type guy and stuff like that. So yeah, I would try and get him a tutor or something like that, or. And if that tutor doesn't work, then like I'll try and get a different tutor, like who like matches my child's learning style and whatnot. So
it's very smart. Okay.
Thank you.
Choose a sleepover theme: spa night, pizza making, picture booth, or movie night.
Pick a what? Like,
picture booth. Like you just take pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a date night, you said?
Spa night, pizza making, picture booth, or movie night?
Spa night sounds good, especially now. Like, that sounds really nice, but yeah, like.
Face masks for everyone. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Do you have a nickname for your kids? No or yes?
Yeah, I don't have a nickname for my kid. Little slugger, tyke, child boy.
Child boy. That's a good nickname. You got working mom. You may not always have time to bake a pie, but who cares? the grocery stores on the way home. And whether you're a lawyer or a cook at McDonald's, you provide for your family and keep them safe. That's you're a right. working mom. And the photo is a mom feeding her kid watermelon while the kid is taking a bath in the bathtub. So
what?
Multitasker. That's you.
Okay. I guess, and you know, mom is the most important job of them all. So
yeah. You don't get paid enough for it, but it's a very difficult job. Not everyone is good at it. In fact, a lot of people are not good at it. Mm-hmm. But you know, not everyone can do it. You know,
not everyone should do it either.
Not everyone. A lot of people shouldn't, but they do because the Pope told them that they should. You know what I mean?
I donated my pet, and I have a child now. So,
yeah, I'm selfish. I'm a selfish person.
You piece of shit, or whatever they said in the movie.
Yeah, honestly. Honestly, it'd be more selfish if I just had a bunch of kids just to have kids, because no one wants little baby Rachel's running around the world. That sounds hella
delightful.
Expensive.
That sounds delightful.
Hella
but
expensive.
Like, yeah, like it's your choice and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. No. I'd rather have an insane cat who has the zoomies late at night, so much so that my roommates think that I'm working out. not my roommates, my neighbors downstairs. And like a year ago, one of them passive aggressively left a note on my door that said, "Can you not work out in the morning?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry, that is not me. That is my cat running around." And I can't do anything about it because she's a cat and I don't know how to talk to her. So yeah. You chose to live on the first floor, not me. So yeah. That's your fault. Anyway,
joy of motherhood, basically.
Yeah.
It's basically the same feeling, like,
yeah,
dealing with that.
Where I'm like, don't lecture me on my children. I don't know what to do with them. That's what I would say. And I'd be like, and you can't tell me what to do with them. Even if you have a good solution, I don't want to listen to it. Because these are my children. Mm. And I do what I want with them.
Yeah, it's which my is house. Let I them do what I want.
Yeah, which is let them do whatever they want. Run around at 5 a.m. if they want to. Because that's what they want to do. While I say, stop. And then eventually
close the
door on them. And so they can't come in. And then they're like, let me in. And I'm like, no, not until I wake up. Yeah. So, you know. Yeah. Well, now that we're kind of loosely talking about that, what would you say is like the moral of the story for the guilt trip?
Yeah, I guess it's just I think it's all about just when you grow older as like, you know, and when you grow older as a son. Or like mm-hmm. you have to like kind of redevelop your relationship with your mom again, because when you grow apart, you kind of like start infantilizing each other again. And then you kind of have to realize, oh, they're people actually. Like my mom's a person, my mom's a human being going through some like hard stuff. And like, you know, there's stuff that like I don't know about my mom that I'm just not privy to and that she's not privy to either. So you know, it's just about opening up and like developing mutual respect and stuff. So, and that's nice.
Yeah.
And that's why it's nice. My favorite movie of all time. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I would say my moral of the story is decide what movie you're making. And if it's going to be a drama where you're like, this is where Barbara Streisand is going to get a Golden Globe, then don't make the poster so comedy looking. Make it more like dramatic looking so that we all know what we're getting into when we go see it, because you're setting
it should be a picture of like Barbara Streisand squeezing Seth Rogen's cheeks, but he's like crying and stuff like that. And it's like, it's in black and white.
Sure. So, yeah. You're setting the tone, and the tone you set was haha. And I didn't get haha. I got, oh, okay. So that's my.
Yeah. But it's also not like great drama either. So it's like kind of just nothing.
No, It's just vanilla, store-bought vanilla, which is fine. You know, as we said, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now you already kind of said it, but we're going to... Okay, so out of five Colin Hankses, how many Colin Hankses do you give the guilt trip?
I give this three Colin Hankses out of 10. So, like, again, just perfectly functional, perfectly fine. Some moments that surprised me and, like, wow, that was actually pretty nice. And that was actually kind of thoughtful. But, and, like, it's like you could tell, like, the writer took some elements of his own life and kind of inserted it into the movie and stuff like that. So it felt a little personal. But other than that, just like, well, I'm going to forget about it like in like 20 minutes. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'll give this a 3 out of 5 Collins. I you know, if I was comparing this to other movies in the world, I probably wouldn't give it a 3. I would give it a little bit lower, but compared to other Colin movies, this one was okay. You know, I wasn't like, why am I watching this? I did think it needed a little bit more Colin, but you know, that's the theme of the season is more Colin. He just is not picking movies where he's the star. And you know what? Maybe that's like a thing that he feels in his life, is that my dad is the main character and I'm a, you know, and that's why he's picking these roles. And it's like, Colin, girl, you are a main character. You need to realize that. You are the main character of your own life, you know? So pick the roles where you are the main character, because you are, you know? Just because your dad is Tom Hanks doesn't mean that you have to push yourself aside, you know? Step into the light, sir. We would like to see you, because we all know that your brother definitely thinks that he's the main character. And we would just like a little less main character energy from him and a little bit more with you. So those are my notes. Take them, Colin. This is my Colin segment where I talk to Colin specifically. But yeah, 3 out of 5 Colins. Wow, we did it. We watched The Guilt Trip. I didn't check the budget of this movie because the last movie that he did only grossed $8,000, and that was fairly sad. But this one, oh, budget estimated $40 million. And then it grossed $37 million. That's really sad. So it didn't make its money back. So hopefully it's on airplanes and you can watch it on an airplane. Okay. Well, Andrew, where can people find you?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. So you can find me at Andrew A. Lee on Instagram and Twitter. I host a podcast called I've Been Meaning to Listen to That, where we take albums we've been meaning to listen to and use it as a conduit to learn about each other and our guests. We've had Rachel on. She talked about Sour. It was so wonderful. Like, she's, yeah, what a delightful guest. What a delightful episode. Yeah, you can follow the show at IBMTLTT. On Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And also
TikTok.
I've been talking to you about that, or TikTok. We need to talk about TikTok, the social media.
I need to talk TikTok.
Okay. Yeah. We have we just post our videos there too. We're the little clips. Listen to your, but first of all, you already have an episode of my show queued up at the end. Right after this. Just listen to, I've been meaning to listen to that wherever you get podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know, Pocket Casts, whatever you listen to. And check out I wrote and starred in Hamilton too. So like in 2016. Yeah, I wrote it and starred in. It was me. Yeah. So just check that out wherever. It's on Disney Plus. You can check that out. So
you look very different on Disney Plus.
Heavy aged makeup and stuff like that. And,
Because you had to look like Alexander Hamilton. So I get it. Wow. Well, you know, one question before we leave: what would be a good album to listen to on a road trip?
Ooh, that's a good question. Because it has to be like kind of
you know, it has to be something enjoyable for the whole family, or at least for your, something you can play in front of your mom. Something like that. Like, so it's something that, so it's like, you know, I've played like music, you know, in the car with my mom, and she was like, this is too raunchy. Turn it off. I don't like it, and stuff like that. Probably just like, our God is an awesome God on the loop.
Our God is an awesome God.
He raised. Your family, it's good for the whole family.
I actually
when I was like, you know, in my super duper, I was like really into Hamilton because I did write it and write and star. So I was like super into it back in 2016, and I would play that all the way through because it's like long enough for like a road trip or like I think musicals can be good. Like Les Mis is a good one. It's like a crowd pleaser. Like a lot of people, like all those songs are great. So yeah, those are some picks. But mainly, our God is an awesome God on a loop.
Our God is an awesome God, he reigns. Yeah, that's a fun one.
That was really good. That was really good. Like,
thank you. So
I'm
much.
An agent. I'm a singing agent. I think you have the stuff. I think you have what it takes.
Can I go on tour with BTS?
Yeah.
BTS. Okay.
That was good too. Like,
thank you.
Really hyping him up.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Hey. Final, like, I made it on all four of your podcasts. That's pretty cool.
Now you can snap your fingers and Chet Hanks will disappear.
Wow. Cool.
Just kidding. Well, thank you. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast.